Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I've got a couple of shout-outs and a couple of announcements. First of all, if you tuned in hoping to hear the Freeman Michael Show at 9 o'clock today, he's on holiday hiatus. You can go to the Freeman Michael Show Facebook page for updates on when he will return. And also have a couple of shout-outs for people last night at the we had a benefit faction that we did, and a couple shout-outs to guests that were there, sat at my table. B, thank you very much for being a lovely dinner party. Reverend Betty, you were great. Sheila and John and Roz, all of you were wonderful dinner partners. Thanks so much for being there last night. Now, back to today's theme. Today's theme is inspiration for the future. All of my guests are going to be discussing why we should be inspired about what's ahead. My first guests have written an inspiring book to help readers prepare for a brighter financial future, even in these unstable times. My second guest is both inspirational and the future rolled into one package. He's the youngest person to ever climb Mount Everest. My third guest has written a book on inspiration titled The Inspiration Factor. We'll discuss with him how to create a more inspired future. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Gary Byrne was honored as associate professor at San Diego State University. He's been in numerous capacities in business and in government, chairman of the Bank of Alex Brown and Meridian National Bank, an administrator for the Rural Electrification Administration, CEO of a rural telephone bank, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Gary was born right here in California in Ontario. He attended the University of Redlands and graduated with his BA magna cum laude. He then went on to UNC at Chapel Hill to get his PhD. I'll try not to hold that against him, and also attended the University of Bonn and Montpelier. Dr. Lance Mason is a respected dental practitioner. He's held teaching positions at, I'm going to have him pronounce this, down in New Zealand, a university down there, the Universidade do Rio Grande do Norte in Brazil, and also at UCLA. He has chaired professional educational conferences. Lance was born right here in Oxnard, California. He attended Loyola University and UCSB, got his dental degree at UCLA. Gentlemen, welcome to the studio. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you here. Now, your book has a provocative title, which I like. It's called The Seven Paths to Poverty, Finding Financial Stability in an Unstable World. So I guess my first question to you is this. How did you come to write this book?
Well, Gary and I are in a bicycle club together, and we got into a wide variety of conversations over a period of time, and some of them were about money. And Gary brought this idea to me that he had for a number of years riding bicycles with his buddy Richard McKenzie, who's an econ prophet, Irvine. And they passed a guy who was panhandling and smoking. And they looked at each other and asked, what's the capitalized value of smoking? Meaning, if you take the money you spend today on any habit, whether it's smoking or any habitual spending, and you invest it instead at a known interest rate or an approximate interest rate, for an approximate period of time, what kind of capital will you have at the end rather than the fostering of the habit that you were talking about? So Gary had this idea, and it came to him in this title, Seven Paths to Poverty, because when we talked about this, like you, Bill, I glommed onto it immediately. I thought it was a great title because it is provocative, and we believe that there are more people in the United States who fear or are anxious about being poor or being financially unstable, then there are people who ever believe they're going to be rich. And we wanted to reach out to that audience. We wanted to reach out to young people and try to give them a kind of a guidebook to keep them out of the trouble that the seven paths to poverty take you into.
Well, it's certainly timely, especially with the economic crisis that we've been facing over the last couple of years. So, Gary, I'll turn to you and ask you, why'd you bring the book out now? I mean, was it just luck that it came out at this time, or was it some stroke of genius and insight that you had to bring it out in the middle of the worst recession since the Great Depression?
Well, it was a stroke of genius. I think there's no question about that, Bill. No, the original event that basically kind of encouraged the development of these thoughts about, you know, how it is that somebody avoids going down one of these seven paths or all of these seven paths to poverty in some cases. That occurred 12 years ago. And then Lance and I actually began working on the book 4 years ago, and we just finished it and brought it out a couple of months ago. So that's really the reason.
All right.
It was serendipity.
Serendipity, and things work definitely very much in your favor. All right. Well, one of the things that I find so interesting, when Albert Einstein was asked, what is the greatest miracle in the universe? His answer was compound interest, which I found fascinating. So why did you start by examining spending habits and savings? I mean, isn't the real trick to getting wealth investing?
No. The real trick to getting wealth is just starting out with some capital. You have to have some capital. You have to have credibility or capital, and capital is the best way. And capital doesn't fall out of trees. You have to acquire the capital. And this book is about how to acquire the capital to begin your investing life.
All right. So you focus on it. Where are you going to get the money in order to be able to invest the money? And that's the position that you take. All right. Well, again, I want to come back to the seven paths of poverty. And for whom is this book written? Who did you think is the ideal reader of this book?
The ideal reader is somebody between the ages of 15 and 40, somebody who is young enough in their life that, number one, they don't understand in a deep way how these seven paths can impact their life. And second, they have enough time in their life so that by following the guidelines that we set out in the book, they can accumulate the capital they need to be a successful investor later in their life. So we're really intending it for a younger audience. And one of the most interesting things for us, I think, in the first couple of months of having the book out is that quite a number of people have purchased the book for themselves. That is, people of, say, our age or perhaps a little younger. And then we find they turn around and they buy 5 more copies for their kids. I just got an email the other day from someone who bought the book, read it themselves, and then said, well, I bought 6 more because I have 6 kids. And we're finding people buying it for their nephews and their nieces. And it's something that we really intend for a younger audience. But we also know that it's frequently the parents who understand that their children need this kind of book.
All right. So that's why the age spread is so wide, from 15 years to 40
Correct.
Years old. But
exactly.
In the economic crisis that we've just had, a lot of people have seen their real wealth destroyed, either because their house value has plummeted or their investments have tanked. So does this book have wisdom in it for people who might be, say, 50 years old to 65, or more importantly, 62 to 65, getting ready, preparing to retire?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember I went on a trip with somebody who was a lawyer, and it happened to be a lady who was a single mother of a couple of kids, and she was complaining about her financial situation, and she was probably definitely in her 40s, and she was saying, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. And I knew how much money she made, which is around $80,000 a year. So
nice.
She should have been quite comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I walked with her through her spending patterns and found out that she got her car washed once a week for $15 each time. Mm-hmm. So there's $750 a year. She bought 2 Starbucks every day. That was $8 every working day. That's $1,600 a year. And so just in a short period of time, as we're driving down the street in her car, I said, look, here's $3,500 a year you can save.
Yeah.
And invest it.
And want to make the point, because it can get overlooked in the course of us discussing the book in this way, is that the book shows you how to take $5 a day and make it be worth $1 million by the time you're 60. You know, start at 20, save $5 a day till you're 60, invest it very conservatively. It's going to be worth $1 million when you're 60. If you take, in this case, $10 a day, in the case of this lady, twice the amount, it's going to be worth $2 million when you're 60. And that's what the book is about, is how to find these places in your life where you can make yourself wealthy by very little effort. But you've got to be consistent. You have to set goals and work along those lines and stay with it. You can't let it drift away. The other thing that they mentioned about people getting gutted by this financial disaster that we're in the middle of, there are a lot of people that got hurt. I don't know anybody who didn't. But the people who really got slammed badly were, in most cases, people who were overextended already in their credit and their spending abilities, who didn't have any discipline, who didn't have any reserves behind them. This book is trying to get people in a position, finding financial stability in an unstable world. We're trying to get people in a position where they don't get gutted by financial downturns.
All right, that's Lance Mason. We're talking to Lance Mason and Gary Byrne. They're the authors of the book, Seven Paths to Poverty, Finding Financial Stability in an Unstable World. Very timely. So let's talk about the seven paths, shall we? All right, we just have a couple of minutes. We'll briefly go through them. But the seven paths, as you've outlined them in the book, are the abandonment of power, the slow leak, push-button spending, but I deserve it. I like that one. Rigidity equals strength, relationships, or how 2 - 1 = 1/2, and going to the dark side. Now, a couple of those chapters are kind of interesting, so I'm going to glom on to my favorite there, but I deserve it. What is that path, and why do people follow the but I deserve it path?
This began, in my view of this, and in the analysis we did, about 40 years ago when Andy Warhol said, everyone's going to be world famous for 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and L'Oreal launched an advertising campaign called, which is based on you deserve it or you're worth it. And it began to change part of the American consciousness, made people much more attuned to the lives of famous people, celebrities, and having a lifestyle that was, if not luxurious, at least something associated with luxury. And people began to lose the concept of, you know, hard work gets you ahead. And it became more and more an entitlement thing. People began to get the sense of entitlement that because they were born and raised in America, they're entitled to things, or because they're born in this times of wealth and luxury, they deserve wealth and luxury. And they lost the association between the hard work it takes to get there and the bit of discipline it takes to get there, and thought that they had it coming. And so people tend to overspend in order to have the kinds of lifestyles that they think that they deserve for no particular reason.
Well, you've glommed onto something there that I find very interesting, because the baby boom generation truly is what they call the me generation. That's a term that came out in the 70s. We were all very self-focused. Let's face it, we're the biggest, most powerful, wealthiest generation in world history. And so we sort of lavished that upon ourselves. And that's where you get this, but I deserve it idea. And I understand that. However, it's that same philosophy that led to the meltdown of 2007 to 2009 as well. So how can we get back on track by reading some of the principles in the Seven Paths to Poverty?
Well, I think this relates to the comment I made earlier, that the people who really got in trouble in the meltdown are the people who lived the entitlement, I deserve it lifestyle, where they were overextended in their expenditures and in their credit.
All right. All right. So another topic that I find very interesting, one of the seven paths that you have, is going to the dark side. Now, what do you mean by that? I think of Darth Vader whenever I hear going to the dark side.
Well, we put that last because it's a bit of a catch-all. It's those attributes of life that we hope most of us, most of the listeners and most of the people we know aren't very much involved in. But, you know, the daily lotto ticket, gambling, and anything to do with gambling, drugs, alcohol, those lifestyle patterns where you do it habitually and you associate with other people who do it, and it becomes such a part of your lifestyle that you live some part of your life, especially the financial part of your life, on the dark side.
All right, well, Lance, but let me just challenge you a little bit on that, because mm-hmm. if I'm a drug addict, all of a sudden I pick up your book, I'm going to strike myself on the side of the head and go, wow, I'm a drug addict, I've got to stop this. That's a little more deep-seated than that, isn't it?
Yes, but we're trying to get people at the front end of that addiction, not at the back end of it. We're trying to get people young people. And the book, we don't expect the book to be a perfect book for everybody in the world at every age, but there are aspects of the book that we think, certain aspects that affect certain people in different ways. And we're trying to get to young people to let them know that, sure, they can do anything they want with their lives, but if they want to be financially comfortable, if they want to be secure, Getting involved in drugs when you're young is not the way to get there.
Got it. We're talking to Lance Mason and Gary Byrne, everybody. They're the authors of the book, Seven Paths to Poverty, Finding Financial Stability in an Unstable World. Gentlemen, if people are interested in what they hear from you, they want to learn more about it, maybe learn where they can find the book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, they can get it on Amazon. They can get it on our own website, which is www.sevenpathstopoverty.com. And it's available in some local bookstores in Santa Barbara. But Amazon and our own website are the best places to acquire it.
All right, and that Seven Paths to Poverty, is that seven spelled out, S-E-V-E-N, or the digit seven?
It's no punctuation, all spelled out, Seven Paths to Poverty.
Seven Paths to Poverty. We've been talking to Lance Mason and Gary Byrne, everybody, authors of the book, The Seven Paths to Poverty. Thanks so much for being our guests here on Brainstorming with Billy Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.